lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
This is Margaret McCraw. You're listening to Business Life Works on HealthyLife.net. And today we have a wonderful show planned for you. Given that it's December, given that it's a time of year where there's a lot of hustle and bustle, I invited Calliope Barless with us today to talk about a topic that's near and dear to her, from fear to freedom. And Calliope has a wonderful, colorful background. Calliope, are you with us?
I sure am, Margaret. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you on the show. I want our listeners to know a little bit about your background, so I'm gonna update them on that, you know, on some information about you and your history, and then I look forward to getting right into talking about some of the wonderful information in your books.
Well, great. I'm a licensed NLP trainer, and that stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And what I do is teach people to become more aware of how you think, so that you, when you change how you think, you change how you feel, which changes how you do things.
Yes, yes. Yes, no, it's incredible, the training. It's wonderful. Now, how long have you been a licensed NLP practitioner?
For nearly a decade, and I actually apprenticed with one of the co-founders of NLP, Dr. Richard Bandler. And so I learned all the magic of his trade, and making changes in people's lives to get rid of their fears or increase their ability to perform better. And basically, I'm totally dedicated to human excellence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's huge.
Yes, that's right.
How'd you
say that? When people come to me, they become better parents, better spouses, better individuals, or better workers, anything that they do, just
right,
by changing how it is that they're thinking.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your history, because your first two books, I'll give the titles of them, but they're about playing golf better. In fact, one is called Play Golf Better Faster Handbook, and the other one is Play Golf Better Faster. So one's the book, one's the handbook to the initial book, and then your third book, which we'll spend a little bit more time on today, since this fits in a bit more with the work setting, is Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom. And so I do want to talk a little bit about your background in golf and how you went from golf to NLP. You want to share that with us?
Sure, I'd love to. Years ago, I was a professional golfer, and my coach didn't teach me a whole lot about swing mechanics or technique. But instead, he introduced me to NLP, which is all about thinking successfully. And when I realized that being a pro golfer wasn't my calling, I now help people in their everyday lives using the same skills, because I was able to become pro in just 2 years after I decided to become pro. I didn't grow up with the game, but because I was taught that I was a quick learner, which we all are, you all are quick learners, because that's how your brain works. As soon as I was told that, I was convinced that I could do anything just by visualizing, hearing, and feeling the outcomes, the goals that I wanted to achieve. And within 6 months, I had like six holes in one, and within just 24 months, I was able to become pro on a mini tour.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great.
Now, I thought it would be useful for people to learn these skills, because there's no other book out there that teaches you in so much detail how to use your mind, how to use how you think to actually perform better in your golf game. It's usually about, say, mechanics and, you know, how are you going to hold the putter, how are you going to hold the club, and I take it beyond that, so that when you think a certain way, your body knows what to do to make it happen.
So how long ago was it that you were really focused on the golf and then started moving into the NLP?
Well, it was nearly 2 decades ago, so nearly 20 years that I've been using these skills. And when I realized being a pro golfer wasn't my calling, I became a doctor of acupuncture, and basically use the NLP skills to communicate best with my patients and make them realize how it is that they were thinking. Because too often, people who have diseases or symptoms or pain, some of the time it's actually related to how they're thinking about something, and it manifests in their body somehow. So once I'm able to get rid of or actually change how they're thinking specifically, some of the symptoms actually went away. And nowadays, I'm just teaching people to become more aware of how they think so that they can pay greater attention to their thought process instead of specifically what they're thinking about, but how they're thinking about it. Because when you start looking at your target in a great vast picture, bigger than life size, colorful, with all the feelings attached to feeling good and making feeling good familiar and hearing what it is that you sound like being successful, once you start thinking more about feeling that way, your body has a destination. Your actions have a destination to actually get it done.
Mm-hmm. Now, how's that different from the power of the subconscious mind, or is it?
Well, what it's doing is bringing your thinking to a conscious level so you have more control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a licensed NLP trainer, I basically teach people to become more aware of how it is that they're thinking. So let's say if I say to you, think of a time in your life when things weren't going so well. Oftentimes people will say, well, it looks gray, it looks colorless, it's small, it's dim. Whereas if I say to you, think of your first kiss or a time where you felt exquisite and things were just going in all the right directions, well, suddenly those pictures inside your mind are colorful, they're clear, they're vivid. Like you can really remember that first kiss you ever had or that first time you made your first dollar, how exciting it was. And when I say these things that one looks different to the other, you can clearly sense that it does look different, the time where you felt exquisite versus when things weren't going so well. So that once you become more aware that, oh, the times I feel really good look colorful, bright, vivid, you can actually create future moments inside your mind just by thinking about it first and then taking action to make it happen.
I completely believe in that, completely, and it really is totally in alignment with law of attraction, the concept of law of attraction, that to attract what you want, you really do have to visualize, but you have to do it not just on one level, but your belief system has to begin to match it so that the feeling tone will be there.
That's right, and that's a very good point, and I'll even add to that that how you think certainly attracts what it is that you're thinking. And in addition, it's always important to actually take action to make it happen. Because, I mean, let's face it, if you want to meet the love of your life, it's not going to happen sitting in your living room watching the TV. You know, and you're not going to make a lot of money working at something you love to do by sitting in your backyard. But rather, you need to find the right job that makes you happy. You need to go out there and meet people so that you meet the right person that you'd love to spend the rest of your life with. So aside from thinking, you do have to do something to make it happen.
Right. They're inspired action is what I like to call it. Inspired.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. So many people get into, you know, I got to, you know, these numbers. I got to go out to X amount of places each week to meet X amount of people so that I meet the right one. It's like, oh my God. You know, they wear themselves out trying to, you know, I've seen people do that with setting up their business, starting their business. I got to make X amount of cold calls. And they literally wear themselves out. They get depressed. It's not what they want to do. It's not inspired action. And so it all goes together, the inspired action. And then the whole thing, too, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, visualizing something. Like, let's say somebody who wants to, they have health concerns. Maybe they want to lose weight. Maybe they want to gain weight. But they have that visualization. Or maybe they want to earn X amount of money. And their belief system doesn't match the visualization, then what I've seen is they can actually go to a very bad place. Instead of taking them to a good place, it takes maybe for a moment they're in a good place thinking about, wow, the 50 pounds are off me. I'm going to look this way. But then a moment later when they think it's not going to happen, I've been trying to make that happen, it hasn't happened for years. When I did it once, I gained it right back. You know, so all those thoughts are negative. So I know for me, when I work with people, I step them through the process. We don't start with the 50 pounds. We maybe start with 2 pounds or 3, but something believable. Is that what you do with your work?
Well, most often, yes. And it's always a step-by-step process. Any progress that we make in anything that we do, And it's important to view it that way. So what you mentioned, you telling the people you help is, all right, let's take a look at losing 2 pounds. What are you going to look like, feel like, and sound like once you've lost those 2 pounds? And then that becomes a whole lot more manageable instead of having this huge, great big picture of losing 50 pounds that may be unreachable inside their mind. So instead, by doing it step by step, and then actually stating what it is that you do want instead of what you don't want. So if someone says, well, I don't want to be fat anymore, well, what happens is that the brain doesn't perceive negation. And what does that mean? It just means that it didn't hear the word don't. It hears, I want to be fat. So instead of saying what you don't want, say, I want to be thin and healthy so that I can live a long life full of well-being in each moment of my life. So that once you state what it is that you do want instead of what you don't want, your mind and your body start making the representations to make it happen.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it really cuts through. It starts building on itself, doesn't it? The positive thought builds on the next positive thought, builds on the next positive thought. And so the negativity. So you talk about a 7-step process in your book, The Phobia Relief from Fear to Freedom. Do you want to start talking a little bit about that here in the time we have for this segment? And we can take that into our next segment if we don't finish that.
Sure, I'd love to. So basically, when people have a fear, it's a great big picture inside their minds. And most often they don't even need to be around what it is that they fear. They can just see a picture of a snake or a picture of a spider, or someone can even just mention it and they start sweating. Well, the truth is that is it really then the spider or the snake that they're afraid of? Is it really then the thought of the spider or the snake? And a lot of times when people have fears, irrational fears, and I'm talking about the fears that people are still in safety, okay, because there are certain fears that you do want to maintain, like a fear of heights. You want a fear of heights because you want to stay on the ledge. Mm-hmm. You want to do fear some snakes because, yes, some snakes are poisonous. But if you're around a pet dog at someone's house at a party, you'd want to be comfortable around it instead of fearing it because you know that dog is safe. Mm-hmm. So what I teach people is to become more aware of how they're thinking about, let's say, the dog. Because, let's face it, when someone was small, everything is huge to a child. And a dog may have started barking in their face, and that's where the whole fear of dogs began. Well, when the adult grows up, the sight of the dog inside their mind remains huge. So what I do is have them shrink down the fear from being life-size down to the size of a dime and blink it black and white. So it actually changes the structure of the thought of what it is that they fear. And then I have them reverse the memory of it so that they see all the movements go backwards, hear all the sounds rewind to the very beginning of the memory, and then blink that black and white. And then because we've done both of those, the thought process inside the brain loses its charge. It's actually changed the neural pathway so that once I've done that, I then build in how they'd rather be around the dog. So they want to be petting the friendly dog. They want to be able to enjoy their kids having the dog. So I then have them see, hear, and feel what it's like to be around their children being happy and them being happy, having proven something to their child that, yes, you can overcome any fear so that nothing holds you back and you can do anything that you want to because anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's put that into a work setting. So let's say you're working with somebody in a situation where they have a lot of fear, a lot of issues with maybe a boss. They're intimidated by their boss. They're always afraid they're not doing a good job. They're going to get fired. Is that something you could walk us through? How might you, what kind of process would you take that person through and kind of list your 7 steps that you use?
Sure. Well, let's put it this way. I had a patient once, a client, who came to me, and he had very bad acne on his face. And I said to him, okay, I know I can get rid of the acne, but I really want to know what's going on that you think is stressing you out. And he said, well, at work, I really feel this little next to my boss. And what he did was, with his two fingers, create something the size of a penny, so that he felt very small next to his boss inside of his mind. Now, by him actually making the gesture with his fingers the size of a penny, that revealed to me exactly how he was thinking of himself whenever he was around the boss. He just felt small. So I said to him, okay, what if, just for now, I'm going to ask you to make yourself the same size as your boss, and in fact, make yourself even bigger than your boss right now. How do you feel? And he said, completely different. I mean, you could even see it in his face. His whole face, like, turned a different color. There was blood in the face again. He was red and had a healthy color to it. And I thought, okay, well, I don't want him feeling bigger than his boss. I need to make him equal. So I said, okay, now decrease inside your mind the size of who you are next to your boss so that you're the equal size. You are your boss's equal, and you're a responsible worker. You know how good you are. It's just a matter of thinking of him differently. And so once he did that, he literally, I'll always remember this, he took off his baseball cap and smiled, because suddenly how he was thinking about his boss and himself in front of his boss just changed, and it changed his entire physiology. Because let's face it, we know that thinking takes place in the brain, not in the toes, right? So once you change how it is that you're thinking, it literally changes the charge throughout your body so that blood can flow, so that oxygen can flow, and that you feel better than what you did before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, was that your last step with him?
Yeah, basically. And then I saw him a couple weeks later, and his acne was like halfway gone. I saw him a month later, and it was totally gone. So it literally, it took care of all the ailment that he had that he came with in the first place, and his entire life changed, quite honestly, you know, because he felt better about how he looked, how he felt, and what he was doing.
So what techniques did you work with, either with him or with any client?
It's a very simple process.
Well, one, let me interrupt a second, because I'm going to have you come back to the seven steps of the summary, Calliope. But what I want to ask is, what did you do to help him hold that space? Because people tend to go back into this habit of thought that caused the problem to begin with, the anxiety, the fear, the feeling small, the acne, whatever. So how did you help him to hold that space?
And this is, I'm glad you asked, because it's the most important aspect of this work, is that you, after I had him shrink down, or rather make himself equal to his boss, I then had him think about how he'd rather be in the presence of his boss, as in comfortable, feeling neutral. Like, he especially had feelings inside of his gut that felt tense. So once he changed, once he equaled his boss inside of his mind, he felt better. And I said, now, from this moment on into the next day and the next week and the years to follow, when you're in front of your boss, imagine yourself the way you'd rather be now that you've made the changes inside your mind. So that basically, once I change something, I need to add something instead of how it is that they'd rather be. And this is all usually done with eyes closed, so that we did this in a quiet place with no distractions. Because when you have your eyes closed, you have nothing but your mind to focus on and how things look, sound like, and feel like. So that once I started, I just said to him, think about how you'd rather be around your boss, how you're feeling, how you're talking to him differently than what you did before, and how you actually see yourself in front of your boss. So that it's a full sensory experience, replacing what used to be with something new. And that's what makes the change last. That's what makes it progressive into future moments.
Okay. So say that one more time for our listeners. Summarize. What to summarize for them.
Okay, so once you've done the change in the structure of how it is that you think, from things that make you feel bad, shrink them down into the size of a dime and blink them black and white, and then simply just create how it is that you'd rather be inside, how it is that you're looking at it, feeling it, and hearing it in your future. Because once you take something away, it's always important to add something better to it so that the change remains and lasts for as long as you want it to.
Mm-hmm. And do you recommend they do that regularly, or when they start to go to a bad feeling place, that they go through the process of shrinking it down, blink it black and white, and then replace it? Is that what you...
Well, they can do this anywhere between 3 and 10 times the first time, and it should take care of it. If it doesn't, if they find themselves, for whatever reason, maybe another individual that they don't feel well around, they now have the skill to do the same thing. So that basically they should be fine. One of the hardest things to believe about NLP skills, they're simple, easy, and quick, but they are.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. We're going to take a quick segment break, and we'll be back in just a moment with more Business Life. We're talking today about from fear to freedom, and Calliope Barless is our special guest. We'll be back.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw with Business Life Works on HealthyLife.net, and today we are talking with Calliope Barless about a topic that's near and dear to, I think, everyone. How do you release fear, and through the process of releasing fear, come into freedom and joy, I might add. Calliope has written several books. The book we're focused on today is her most recent. It's called Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom. And Calliope, where can our listeners get your book?
On my website at buildingyourbest.com or Amazon.
Okay, great, wonderful. And that was just published this year, right? Just recently?
Yes, just a few weeks ago on October 6th, and it's already an international bestseller.
Wonderful, very, very good, excellent. Well, it's a topic that I think everyone has to deal with in their life, from time to time. And if you can learn how to release fears when other fears, new fears show up, first of all, I'm not even so sure they would show up, not nearly at the pace they would if you don't know how to deal with it. And when they show up and you release them, then you can really develop these skills in such a powerful way and open your life up to all kinds of things. Tell us a little bit about how your life is opened up by grasping these concepts.
Well, I became a pro golfer in just 2 years after I set forth to do so. I didn't grow up with the game and decided in my 20s to play professionally, and within 2 years I was on tour. And then I used it to help people become better parents, spouses, workers, and individuals. And not only in my own life where, let's face it, things happen to all of us in challenging times, and with these NLP skills, I've had the ability to better manage, have more control over how I feel and how I do things. But I've also helped people build in their best life ever just by changing how they think, start putting things into perspective in ways that they didn't before. Because, like you mentioned earlier, belief systems are a huge part of the process of change. I believe that anything is possible. And when you have a mindset like that, anyone who comes to me does change. And the change happens neurologically, not so much psychologically. Because by changing how you think, it changes how you feel, which then changes how you do things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very good point. Excellent. So if you were going to give your 7 steps in a summary, I know you explained in the example perfectly steps that you would go through with the client. Just kind of state them in a summary for us.
Okay, so I'm going to talk specifically about fears and things that people come to me to fear about. So I first ask them to think about what it is that they fear, whether it's a dog or a snake or a clown. Just think of the fear. And, of course, whatever it is that we do, it's always in a quiet place where there are no distractions, and they have the ability to close your eyes so that you're in a safe place while you're doing this. So you think of the fear, and then, second step, you need to know what you do want instead of what you don't want. Meaning, instead of saying, well, I don't want to fear dogs, you want to say, I want to feel comfortable around dogs I know that are safe. Mm-hmm. So that your brain now starts making representations of what you do want instead of what you don't want. And step number three is thinking about how many minutes a day you've actually wasted thinking about what it is that you fear. And most of the time, it ends up being a lot of time. And if you truly think about how much time is being wasted in fear, you're propelled to change it even more because you realize just how much more productively you could be living your life instead of spending all these minutes in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth part of the sequence is you think about where the feelings actually are when you think about what it is you fear. And when you sense where the feelings are, feelings have a direction. They'll either tumble forward, tumble backwards, or go clockwise or counterclockwise. And when you become aware just by closing your eyes and noticing which direction the feelings spin, you want to spin them even faster in the same direction. And even faster, notice how differently you feel. And then bring it to a pause and then actually spin the feelings backwards. So it changes the feeling. And that's just the start of changing how it is that you're going to feel by the end of the sequence.
Say that again.
And then step number five is all about...
Let me stop you a second. Spinning them forward and spinning them backwards. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. So whenever people are ready for change, they usually reach a point where they just can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's what we call threshold. Meaning, I'm just so sick of living in fear, I need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And by spinning the feelings in the same direction as when you were feeling the fear inside of you, you're making it worse before to realize that, oh, my God, if I continue this for the next 30 years, this is what is possible of me feeling, and even worse than that. So when you spin the feelings in the same direction really fast, it typically makes the person feel a little worse, but then we make it stop and reverse the direction so that suddenly that feeling starts to lose its charge throughout the body because you're moving it in a different direction. And because you're moving the feelings in a different direction, the brain and the body respond to it.
I want to maybe, and then we'll go on with the rest of the steps, I want to give an example because I think this is what you're talking about. So years ago, when I was working in a job that I just reached a point where I just didn't want to be there, and I remember thinking I had like three different bosses, and the company kept getting bought out, and it was just like chaos. And I remember thinking it was almost the best thing that could have happened to me because it was so chaotic that I was miserable. And so, and we couldn't really progress and do what we had been hired to do because of all the buyouts and the different changes. It was just not an organized buyout. So I remember thinking and feeling fearful, as everybody seemed to be at that point, of, oh, my God, what if I lose my job? What if I lose my job? And then I remember spending it in that direction thinking, God, I'd be relieved. it would be so much better. But then, of course, the fear of how would I pay my mortgage and all the money situation, and so then the fear starts cropping up again. And I remember I kept spending it. One day I just came home and thought, what do I really want to do? And I wanted to open up my own business. And I was so miserable there that the fear of not being able to make it in business or not being able to have enough money to make it all happen was not there because the disenchantment with the current position was so great, it overshadowed any fear of the finances that I might have once had. And so then I went with the good feeling of how free I would feel to be able to take charge of my life, take charge of decisions, not have to go through all these changes, to be able to say, okay, this is going to work, this isn't going to work, let's try this, let's try that. And that sense of control over my life was so empowering that feeling just
overshadowed any negative or concerns or fear of money of setting up a business. So is that what you would talk about a little bit in terms of spinning backwards and then spinning forward?
That is a great example of exactly what I was talking about in reaching threshold point, that you were so sick of the current situation at the time with your employees that you just had enough. And so it got to the point where it propelled you into taking action for a change so that you could build your own business and now have your own podcast. You know, so in your case, it worked out extremely well, and that's what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm. And a person doesn't have to leave and set up their own business, of course, but whatever is floating their boat, whatever they think, gee, this would feel so much better to me, and they might not have been willing to take the risk in the past.
But, that's right.
But, you know, I say to so many people when work gets really rough and they feel like they've tried everything to make it turn around, then maybe that is just the greatest gift, because maybe now they'll be willing to leave some that they have in that current workplace and try something new or different that would be stimulating to them.
That's right. And I'd like to also add that if they aren't in a position to leave their job, they can at least change their attitude.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing you will always have control of, is your attitude.
That's perfect. We're going to take a quick segment break. We're going to come back to that thought, because that's an excellent point, and then we're going to continue the steps. I think we've left off on step five. So stay tuned to more Business Life Works in a moment.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw with Business Life Works. We're here today speaking with Alla B. Barlett, the author of the several books, actually, but the one I'm giving special attention to today is Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom. And please give your website again, buildingyourbest.com.
That's right. It's buildingyourbest.com.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. So, Calabi, we were going through the steps, and I interrupted to touch base a little bit about a situation I experienced many, many, many years ago. Tell us, we were on, I believe, step five.
Right. Step five is all about size and distance, because too often when we fear something, we don't even have to be around what it is that we fear. Just the thought of it makes some people sweat. And so when you think of how big, what size is whatever it is that you fear? Is it life size or bigger than life? And all too often it's moving in towards you. And what I have you do is actually take the size of the fear, become aware of it, and shrink it down to the size of a dime and blink it black and white. And what that does is simply change the structure of the thought so it changes how you feel.
Okay. Now, when you say blink black and white, you're saying shift it out of a colorful image or visualization to something bland, like black and white.
That's exactly it, and that's a very good way of putting it, because too often the fears are blown out of proportion, literally. And when people say blown out of proportion, they're basically revealing how it is that they're thinking about what they fear. So that once you put it into proportion, but even smaller, so that it loses its power, and therefore you feel differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So size and distance is step five when you're working with your clients. And then step six?
Is reversing the memory. And this is a real simple exercise where you think of the most dramatic time that you had the fear, or the last time that you felt the fear, and go to the very end of that memory of it, and then reverse it. Literally play it in reverse the way you would a video on your screen at home, so that you hear all the sounds rewind. You see all the motions go backwards. And then you go to the very beginning of the memory and blink that black and white. And you do that about three times, as you would with the size and distance, so that each and every time that you do it, it loses its charge even more, so that the charge inside the brain makes the body feel even different than what it did before.
Hmm. So when somebody has a very specific fear, like fear of large dogs or something like that, that would be, or a specific instance of something. How about if it's a little bit maybe not so crystal clear? Maybe they're not even sure why they feel anxious. Maybe they're not even sure why they feel fearful. How do you work?
Well, I don't really care about who, what, where, and when it all started. And quite honestly, if I start asking those questions, it only reinforces the fear.
Yes.
Because now they're giving me detail mm-hmm. about the fear. Mm-hmm. And the more detail you feed into it, the more dramatic it becomes. Mm-hmm. And so what I just have them do is, you know, if I just... most of the time whenever I ask someone, so what size is it when you think of it? Is it life size or bigger than life? Most of the time they know that it's bigger. Oh, it's bigger than life. I mean, you know, a lady who's fear of clowns, she saw that mouth of a clown, red big lips and red big cheeks and that hair. She said, oh, my God, it's like scaring the soul out of me, you know. Most of the time people are very clear on how it is that they're looking at it and how it looks to them. So then it's most often we can always work with it.
Okay. So you take the memory, you go with the end of the memory, and then you kind of play back the tape to the beginning?
That's right.
And then you
You're doing is actually reversing the pathway of the thought, mm-hmm. and it loses its power so that you have more control over how you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's too easy to believe, but it
worked. Oh, no, I believe it worked. I was just wanting to specify this. So, and then you blink three times, and then did you say you take them back the other way, or you just do it the reverse it?
You go to the very point of the end of the memory again and then reverse it. So you do that three times.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick segment break. We'll be back in a moment with more Business Life Works, and we're speaking today with Calliope Barless from Fear to Freedom.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
You're listening to Margaret McCraw on HealthyLife.net, the show Business Life Works. Today we're speaking with Calliope Barless from Fear to Freedom and talking about her wonderful book, bestseller on Amazon, called Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom. Calliope's book can be bought on Amazon, any major bookstore, or on her website, which is buildingyourbest.com. Okay, Calliope, so we were wrapping up these seven steps. We were just talking about your sixth step in working with the client to release their fears. Now I guess we're ready to move on to step seven.
Great. So step seven is all about laughing. Because what I have you do is, again, you're in a quiet place with no distractions, you're safe, and you're able to close your eyes. You think of a past pleasant memory that made you laugh so hard your guts hurt. So that you just start laughing about something. And then I have you think of a future moment where you see the dog that you used to fear, that you know that you could be safe around. It's a safe dog. So you start laughing inside your mind when you see this dog inside your mind. And you think of a few more times thereafter in the future when you see a dog you know is safe. And you start laughing whenever you see them. So that now, whenever you look at a dog who's safe, you can laugh about it. Because before we changed the structure of the thought, we took away something, and now we're building in something, some way that you'd rather be. And, I mean, let's face it, once you start laughing, it sets off oxytocin in the brain and allows the brain to be more flexible so that the next time you see the dog, you're able to feel comfortable around them.
That makes sense. Yes. And how often do you have your clients do this step?
Three times.
Okay.
You know, three is a magic number. So just have them think of three future events where they're having fun around the dog, or whatever element of fear that they know they can be safe around. Because, I mean, let's face it, I also build into them when you know that if you can also imagine a future point that if there is a dog that you need to go into a safe place, you know the difference to do that. because I don't take a fear completely, totally away. I want them to be able to respond accordingly and rationally to a dog that's safe and a dog who's not so safe. So it works in their favor either way.
Okay, that sounds, that makes sense to me.
Makes sense, right?
Yes, of course, it does make really, really good sense. Any examples, and we just have a little bit of time, very short moment, a few minutes here, but anything else that you would like to say and leave with our clients, our listeners today?
That if you have any fears that you know are holding you back in your life of doing the things that you'd love to be doing to live the richest life you could possibly have, there is hope. There is hope that you can get rid of the fear. There is hope that you'll be able to respond and have the right attitude so that you can live a healthier life, full of fun with your kids, full of fun with your family, having a better time at work so that you feel comfortable around your boss, or even with the holidays coming up, so that when you're around your family, and, you know, for some people it's stressful, so you can always shrink the stressful family members down inside your mind, and they'll never know what you're doing. You can just sit there laughing about it, thinking to yourself, huh, I got it all under control.
That's excellent, really. It is. I think that's a very good point. And to do that before maybe the family event in your mind.
That's right. And it's like dressing up your attitude so that you're ready to step into any environment, any situation with your family, and have a good time either way. Because like we said, you always have control over your own attitude, and all starts by how you think.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a good point. Really such a good point. And prepaving when you do these things, rather than just show up at the event fearing, and through your own fear, you can contribute to setting up the whole dynamic of whatever the past has been, bringing it right back into your life.
That's right.
Prepaving and doing some of the things you suggested today, thinking about it, getting to another place with it all. So when you're actually sitting there across the table at someone who's maybe sarcastic or makes comments or you feel small around them or whatever it might be, that you know you've handled it before you even got to the event, so now you can handle it while you're there.
And you know that whatever trigger it is, you'll be expecting it, so you can respond differently.
Yes, rather than react.
That's right.
Which really means you're in control. That's everything you've been talking about today, is being in control and how to create that sense of control, and not just a sense, but actually being there, knowing that you are truly in control of your thoughts, so you're in control of what happens, and whatever is happening around you doesn't have to impact you the way it once did.
That's right.
It is very...
Absolutely right.
Very powerful. And I think even, you know, as we move into this very busy holiday season, I mean, just the hustle, the bustle, to even rethink, you know, I know people put themselves under financial stress. They put themselves under the stressing to cook, you know, meals, to maybe try to visit everybody on whatever big holidays they have, whatever ones they're celebrating, that they try to do it all in a short amount of time. So maybe they can create a plan. Maybe everyone could create a plan of how they could best enjoy the holidays. You know, what would be optimal for them? And for some people, it may be that they just really want to go away this year and do something different, you know, something completely
different. That's right. And it all starts by setting a destination. Because let's face it, every pilot has a destination. And based on that destination, they plan a route. And by setting the standard for yourself now to enjoy yourself for the holidays, you'll know what to do to make it happen.
Exactly. That's very, very powerful. And then after the holidays, when so many people are feeling a little down, that all the hustle and bustle, so adding into it after the holidays, after the hustle bustle, maybe after the family gatherings or whatever, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be to keep yourself uplifted? So we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to wrap up with you today, and I'm going to come back to my listeners and just give them a little information about what I'm up to. And Calliope, I can't thank you enough. Wonderful information, wonderful books. Her book, Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom, and her website is buildingyourbest.com. Get in touch with Calliope. Find out about her services, her coaching, her guidance, her trainings, and they can just complete the contact form right on the website. Correct, Calliope? Is that the best?
That's right. They can apply for one of my seminars to learn what it is that I do, not only for themselves, but whoever else they want to do it with, their family members, or even make it a profession.
Wonderful. We're wrapping up our show today. This is Margaret McCraw, the host of Business Life Works, and today the topic that we were discussing is so important in the workplace, letting go of your fears, releasing yourself from your anxieties, being able to be your best at home and at work, and finding your place, your space of peace. That is so critical to being able to enjoy life and to be able to actually live purposefully and passionately, something we've been talking about for a very long time on this show. For many of you, I hear from you. I get emails from different people who hear about information that we talk about, and they think, how could I help others? How could I really make a difference in the world, just like our guests do on this show? And so we have certification training programs at my company, Behavioral Health and Leadership Dynamics. We train people online all over the world. It's credential training and life spiritual mentoring, life coaching, health and wellness certifications, master life coach, business coaching, corporate life coaching. And so all these different certifications are established so that when you work with people, you can help them release their fears, come to a better place, live purposefully and passionately. And when you're taking the training, you yourself are learning how to do these things optimally for you. So if you are interested, if you think that, you know, you would be great at helping others to move forward in their life, and you find that people do naturally come to you for advice and guidance and support, then feel free to give us a call. You can call 410-929-9302 is our main office in Baltimore, Maryland. Again, 410-929-9302, or you can email us at info@bhcld.com. We look forward to answering your emails, your inquiries, and until then, you have a wonderful holiday, and we will see you back in the new year, which is right around the corner. Have a great day.